I'll be reporting on part of a regional project which several of us in the southeast have been working on now, I guess for three field seasons. We'd like to again thank Cotton Incorporated as well as all the state support committees in respective states for funding this project. Today I'll be talking about the influence of bugs or bole feeding bugs on cotton fiber quality. We've done three field seasons, but we've actually only completed two of the field seasons in terms of quantifying fiber quality. We're all familiar with the bole feeding bugs. There's actually a complex of bugs that can feed on these developing bolls, whether it be stink bugs, plant bugs, leaf-footed bugs, clouded plant bugs. A lot of different bugs that can actually feed on these developing bolls. But in the southeast, by far, stink bugs are our most common boll feeding bugs which we encounter. These bugs have piercing, sucking mouth parts. The way they actually cause yield loss, there's actually two ways. These bugs are looking to feed on the developing seed or these tissues near that developing seed. If they actually injure the seed, it will impact lint development as the fiber is just an extension of the seed. But perhaps more importantly, when we see severe yield loss from these bole feeding bugs, is these bugs either during the feeding process itself may inject some rot pathogens, or at least they do create wounds that these pathogens may enter the bowl. But we tend to see our most significant losses to yield when we associate a lot of rot with these damaged bowls. Stink bugs prefer to feed on medium-sized bowls. That's where we tend to focus our scouting efforts. If you notice on the picture on the right, you will see some staining where some of these rot pathogens have been introduced. Stink bugs will also feed on very small bowls in the absence of medium-sized bowls, but when they feed on these small bowls, they typically are shed from the plant. But just a quick review of fiber quality. A lot happens in terms of fiber development, especially when we talk about length or elongation of fibers. That corresponds with what I have shaded in red with the time in which stink bugs prefer to feed on these bowls. But the yellow line just represents the typical elongation pattern of fibers over time. If you'll notice the yellow line, we tend to see fibers elongate for about the first 3 weeks following bowl development. So it somewhat makes sense if a stink bug were to injure a seed of a 10-day-old bowl, which should impact something such as length or fiber in terms of fiber quality. Now, when stink bugs feed on medium-sized bowls, let's say bowls greater than 10 days of age, or even bowls larger than that, those bowls most often will remain on the plant. This is just a picture showing varying degrees of stink bug injury. On the far left, we have undamaged bowls. In the far right, we have some pretty serious injury. But these bowls are susceptible to yield loss up until about 25 days of age. Now, in the data I'm going to present today, it's a summary of a lot of different trials that were conducted in 2005 and 2006. We have a broad range of bowl injury or yield loss that occurred in these trials. 2005 was a very difficult year for stink bugs in Georgia. This is just a shot of one of our trials where we had very severe yield loss. We had other trials where we had, I guess we could call it, more moderate levels of damage. And then in 2006, we had several trials where we had very minimal damage. So we got a pretty good range, and that's actually important that we have a broad distribution of damage levels to try to understand this influence of these stink bugs on fiber quality. So I guess our objective, we're just trying to quantify these differences or that may exist due to stink bug injury. In all the trials or the information I'll be presenting today, the data is from machine-picked cotton, and that cotton was ginned in Tifton at a microgin, which simulates commercial ginning processes. Again, it's a large data set, and I've tried to combine all that data to give us more power, and I'll have to explain that when we get to the first slide. This is just a picture of our gin in Georgia. We do gin for other cooperators, so if anyone has an interest in ginning samples at the MicroGin in Tifton, they could contact me or someone else at the University of Georgia. But I want to set this slide up just to show you how I'm going to present the data. On the vertical axis, and what I've done here, we had a lot of different trials, and in all these different trials, there was always one common treatment. And that common treatment being we sprayed very aggressively to control stink bugs, basically once a week. So what I've tried to do is compare treatments to that aggressively sprayed treatment. And I've, based on this slide, I've tried to break up all the different treatments. I think in the 43 locations, we had a total of 227 treatments. So ultimately, we can make 187 comparisons to the mean for where we aggressively spray. For example, in this slide, of all the trials where we aggressively sprayed stink bugs, we averaged about 1,250 pounds of cotton. But of all those trials, there were 72 individual treatments in a trial that actually yielded greater than where we sprayed once a week. If we look here, there were 10 treatments where the yield loss was between 200 and 300 pounds less than where we aggressively sprayed. So the bottom line is we're going from very low stink bug damage to very severe stink bug damage, and that's what you want to see. It's interesting, if you look at the percent lint turnout or lint fraction, as stink bug damage increases from very minimal damage to severe stink bug damage, the percent lint turnout is reduced compared to where we aggressively sprayed. And again, just so you understand this slide, if we look at the next to the right, there was that particular group of treatments, the yield loss was somewhere between 300 and 500 pounds. The lint fraction was reduced by about 1%. Okay? If you look at Micronair, not much difference at all, but we do start seeing a trend for Micronair to be reduced as stink bug damage increases. If we look at staple length, and this is presented in 30 seconds, and this is type data that growers are interested in, is length data. We do see a trend that as stink bug damage increases, if we go from left to right, the staple length is reduced. You know, where do you draw the line? I don't know. I think right now it's just important that we understand these trends that are occurring. If we look at uniformity index, we see the same sort of trend as we go from very low damage or no stink bug damage to severe stink bug damage. The uniformity index is reduced. Strength is kind of all over the board. It doesn't appear that we have much of the impact on strength. This is reflectance. It's part of coming up with a color grade. As you would expect, color grades are impacted as stink bug damage increase, and that's due to the staining of the lint. But anyway, I think we're very comfortable that this trend does occur. We also had APHIS values, and I think I'm just going to show one slide of APHIS values, but this is percent short fiber content. And from what we know, this is one of the more important characteristics that our textile industry has told us we need to address, but we see the same sort of trend as stink bug damage increases, short fiber content increases, and that's a bad thing. We can look at this data a different way. In 2005, we had 11 trials conducted in these various states where we had three common treatments, where we had an untreated, a 20% bowl damage threshold, and an aggressively sprayed. For all the HVI measures, and again, this was a heavy stink bug year, we see a significant impact on fiber quality compared with the untreated. But the fiber quality measures, at least with HBI, appear pretty similar between our threshold and aggressively sprayed. But in looking at this data, you note that we were about 100 pounds difference in yield from our threshold to where we aggressively sprayed. So in 2006, we had a lot of different trial. We introduced some new treatments, something we termed a dynamic threshold. And Jeremy Green reported on that earlier. But what I'm, and in 2006, we had much lower bug numbers than 2005. But we still, for what the values I have highlighted is where we saw any significant differences. But not a lot of difference in the quality. Maybe we see a little bit of an increase in uniformity where we were making some type of spray for stink bugs. But if you look at the APHIS values, and APHIS is just a more intensive investigation of fiber quality, even in these 2006 trials where we didn't have severe damage, we still see a lot of statistical differences or significant differences in about every value or every measure, especially these associated with length. And these are subtle differences, but again, I think we're pretty comfortable in that, you know, excessive damage definitely hurts fiber quality. I guess just to summarize, again, where we are is we know that excessive damage from stink bugs has a pretty significant impact on fiber quality. But also, if we look at when we compare these treatments, common treatments where we're trying to manage stink bugs for profit maximization, that would be using thresholds and treating on an as-needed basis, at least on the surface with this brief summary, the data does seem to support the comment that if we preserve yield for profit maximization, we also preserve our quality. And that's a statement that we want to hopefully be able to say. And with that, I'm going to stop. If there are any questions or comments, I'd be happy to address them.
We have time.